Welcome to Voices,
a podcast from the Institute for Human Rights and Business.
Here, we're seeking to elevate the range of perspectives
on the role of business in the world
and in people's everyday lives.
Hello, everybody. This is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business. And today I'm talking to Rohini Lakshane, who is a public policy researcher and an engineer by training, but has done a lot of work on digital issues. She's also involved with the Bachao project, and she has co-authored a report on the impact of network shutdown on women and girls in the Indian state of Manipur. And the institute itself, we have done some work in the past on network shutdowns in Pakistan. And increasingly, network shutdowns are becoming a strategy of choice for some governments. So first of all, thank you for joining us, Rohini.
Thank you. Thank you for having me over.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the report on internet shutdowns in Manipur? Tell us why the government may have chosen to do it and why was Manipur so critical? Of course, this is about a year-old report, but the issue resonates beyond that.
Yes, we did the preliminary study in late 2017. We specifically studied the impact of intentional internet shutdowns and unreliable mobile connectivity on women in Manipur. Why the government may have done it, we've cited leaked copies of documents issued by the district administration in the report. And the premise of those government orders was that the internet, especially social networking websites and instant messaging apps, were being used to spread rumors that could potentially aggravate an existing situation of violence or public unrest. So we have documented three different shutdowns. Two more shutdowns happened after the report was released.
How long were these shutdowns?
One in December 2016 was about 15 days. The second was about a week long. And the third, we could not verify.
And these are widespread, yeah, right? They're throughout the state and not only in specific areas.
No, they were not statewide shutdowns. They were in specific districts.
Right. And why is Manipur crucial? I mean, and critical. Could you tell us about the insurgency and threats? What were the reasons that prompted the government to do it?
So each of these shutdowns had immediate triggers. Mm-hmm. Like one of the shutdowns was called after what is called the economic blockade of December 2016. A group had called for a complete block on the movement of goods and trucks onto arterial highways leading to Imphal. The people of Imphal had announced a counter blockade, restricting the movement of goods outside Imphal, because of which prices of fuel, food and essential commodities skyrocketed and major incidents of violence and arson happened. After which the district administration of Imphal West and Imphal East districts shuttered the internet for nearly 2 weeks, claiming that the spread of photos and misinformation about the situation was worsening it further. The other recorded shutdown was in 2017, following protests by different groups who were either in support or against the introduction of what is called the ILP system, Inner Line Permit System. It's sort of travel permit system for people to travel to specific regions within the state of India. And these protests also took a violent turn, and on the same premises that misinformation or rumors were being spread either intentionally or otherwise, which was making this situation worse, with district administration of Churachandpur called for an internet shutdown about a week. The third incident is based on one single respondent, because she was the only respondent we found from this particular remote district. She said that the internet was throttled. The description that she gave matches that of throttling, in which she says that the internet had become so slow on the day of polling and on the day of counting of votes in 2017 that the internet was practically unusable. So this sounds like an incident of throttling, but we have not been able to independently verify this.
Now, given what is happening today in Kashmir, now which is now more than 3 months in complete internet blackout, is Manipur, can one see it as a lab from which these ideas were exported to Kashmir? How bad a situation is it in Kashmir and elsewhere in India, where also internet blackouts have been tried time and again.
India has experienced the highest number of recorded intentional internet shutdowns in the world every year since 2016. So shutdowns have happened in practically every part of India except for the major urban metropolitan areas, let's say Delhi or Mumbai, where a shutdown would cause, you know, immense distress and losses. And I'm speaking of intentional shutdowns, which means that these are not caused by technical fault or some such, but they were initiated by the state, and recorded shutdowns, because it is possible that in some areas, the shutdowns can go unreported. Or people don't necessarily realize that the internet services were unavailable for a certain duration, for a few hours or maybe something like that. So our research only looks at shutdowns that were intentional and that are verifiable in some sense. That is, they were recorded. In Kashmir, the internet shutdown that started in August this year is a statewide blackout of all telecommunications. And by statewide, I mean before the boundaries of the state were redrawn. The internet shutdown came with the blackout of landline communication, mobile voice calls, broadband internet, mobile internet. No other Indian state has experienced a statewide intentional internet shutdown. In Kashmir, this was clubbed with curfews and extreme restrictions on the physical movement of citizens. So in the history of shutdowns that have already happened in India, this is unprecedented, that it has been clubbed with many, many other restrictions. This was also a preventive shutdown. Now, by preventive, I mean that a shutdown that is called after a documented adverse incident, like the ones I described in the case of Manipur, where there was violence or rioting or arson happening, after which the district administration declared shutdown orders. Though that is not to say that there is any evidence to show that state-initiated internet shutdowns would thwart violent protests. Public statements that were given by the Jammu and Kashmir governor and other government sources indicate that the Kashmir shutdown was done to prevent loss. But as I said, there's no such evidence. But there is evidence that not having access to healthcare, medicines, emergency services, not being able to reach hospital in time, not being able to access one's own money because banks are shut and ATMs are out of cash and credit card swiping machines don't work because there's no internet connection. All of these have caused the loss of lives.
So what you're talking about are the wider range of human rights impacts than what we typically understand internet shutdown to be about, which is, you know, to prevent the dissemination of rumors and hate speech or preventing this the expression of free speech. So tell me more about these human rights impacts, because in your report you talk about how the women entrepreneurs felt undermined. They felt a lot of loss of status. If you can go into some of the impacts that are genderized.
One of the reasons we decided to do this research study was that it was at the intersection of gender, indigeneity, ethnicity, given that the people in Manipur belong to an ethnic minority in India and most of them belong to indigenous groups. It came at the intersection of these things and prolonged armed conflict. What we observed was, due to the lack of conventional infrastructure, such as roads or universities, or I mean lack of easy access, affordable access to conventional infrastructure, people had come to rely more on the internet. For example, some people were taking online courses or were just educating themselves informally by watching some informative videos. So in that sense, shutdowns impact the right to education. Shutdowns impact all human rights in the sense that they impact the right to freedom of speech and expression and the right to access information. And these rights are necessary for us to assert all the other rights in case the other rights were infringed upon. In terms of the entrepreneurs, different parts of their business operations were dependent on the internet. Some people would take orders from their clients or transfer money online or pay their workers based on certain transactions on the internet or place orders for raw material online. All of these business operations were affected. And it's interesting to note that the telecom industry is the only organized private sector industry in Manipur. I mean, Manipur has one of the lowest per capita incomes in the country, and the rest of the economic indicators are also not very good. So these are all formal industries or cooperatives.
Mm-hmm.
And their operations may not be fully formalized. So they had come to depend on the internet. I mean, there are boutique owners who place orders on WhatsApp by sending a picture to their supplier of the sort of material they wanted. So all of this went for a toss. The other human right that this affected was the freedom of peaceful assembly, online or offline public assembly. Then it also affected the freedom of movement because, so to cite an incident narrated by one of our respondents, a group of teenage girls were supposed to travel out of Manipur, and they were traveling together for reasons of safety. Because of the shutdowns, there were immense difficulties for them to even buy a ticket because you cannot buy it online. You cannot contact people elsewhere who can buy it for you. You cannot physically travel to another place to buy it for you and buy it in a way that everybody gets to travel together. And the few options that were available were extremely expensive for them. Internet shutdowns affect every human that is there.
Now, turning to the role of companies, I mean, you talk about the companies involved, and one is a state-owned company, a few are Indian companies, and a couple of them are multinationals in this list that is there, which are operating in Manipur. And I think the situation repeats itself elsewhere in the country, not just in India. I mean, it would be the same in other countries too, that there would be a range of companies. What role do you see for companies that operate in remote areas or in situations like this? What do you expect them to do? How should they respond to requests from governments for internet shutdowns? Do you think they have specific responsibilities?
In terms of internet shutdowns, as far as I understand, telecom companies are bound by contract to honor the request. This is part of the licensing agreement given to telecom companies. As for smaller companies such as local internet service providers, again, to the best of my knowledge, they have to comply within a certain duration of about 36 hours or so. And even if they had to ask for queries or clarifications or to these orders of sorts, because some of the orders are vague or ambiguous or they are difficult to implement technically, given the phrasing, they have to first follow the order and then ask for clarifications due to restrictions like a time limit given to implement them. So I would presume that companies might want to address this issue of issuing clarifications or requesting clarifications from the government about these orders. As far as compliance is concerned, I think they are bound by contract.
Yeah. So this brings me to the kind of final global question, that if this is the kind of problem that companies are faced in Myanmar, in Egypt, and many parts of the world where state makes a request and they have to comply, is there a need for a new global standard or a convergence of policies for internet shutdown? Because people like David Kaye, who is the special rapporteur for freedom of expression, have been saying, you know, that these are wrong because they infringe on human rights. And given the wide views to which it has been put and given the scale of it in India, what are the two or three things you would want companies to do to safeguard rights? I appreciate that the law itself is very strong and clear, but how would you want to change the law? What would you want to see, given that the state has a legitimate obligation also in protecting the rights of people who might otherwise be victims of hate speech on internet?
As I said, there is no evidence that internet shutdowns would have been effective in curbing violent protests or violent activities. There was a statistical study done by Jan Rizak at the Stanford University's Global Digital Policy Incubator. He studied intentional internet shutdowns that were implemented in different parts in India in 2016 following different incidents of violent and non-violent protests. And I quote, "Each consecutive day of shutdown produces a surge of riots greater than what we usually see with each consecutive day of protest. Meanwhile, the chances of shutdowns succeeding against nonviolent protests are not statistically different from random chance." The study is titled "Of Blackouts and Buns." So maintaining law and order is a responsibility of the government, but by implementing blanket internet shutdowns, the government is penalizes everybody in that particular city or district or whatever the boundaries of the state are. And while in Manipur, in Kashmir, the shutdowns have happened either to prevent further unrest and violence or in the name of public safety or public order or national security. There have been incidents where preventive shutdowns happened for reasons such as preventing cheating in public examinations. This happened in Rajasthan on two different occasions in 2018, where one of the sets of examinations was for the recruitment of police constables. Now, these sort of shutdowns are definitely avoidable. And mostly, the shutdown orders are issued by local administration. So we need to drive home the point among people and among administration that the internet is a public good and it is universally recognized as a fundamental human right, and access to the internet just cannot be cut off at the top of a hat. So in terms of global policies regarding internet shutdowns, I believe internet companies, telecom companies also suffer when internet shutdowns happen, because if people don't use the internet, I presume they would be losing revenues. And the other concerns are anyway concerns that would exist even if the internet did not exist.
Right, of course, yeah. Thank you. I mean, you pointed a very vivid and rather grim picture that it's not an easy task, and the balancing of rights is indeed the state's obligation, but it has clearly overreached in the context of internet shutdowns. Thank you very much for the time and all the best with your work.
Thank you. Thank you, Salim.